Welcome to the walkthrough.
What's going on, everybody, at South Harmon, and welcome to the brand new show here on the podcast network, The Walkthrough. I'm your host, Matty Kewum, joined by my right-hand man, the big dogs in audio-only podcast version, Cody Carpentier. What's going on, Cody?
Brother, we don't do this very much. We don't do this audio-only podcast stuff very much. This is a throwback per se. My first days of podcasting at Player Profiler were just this. Camera was off. I'm sitting in my room facing the wall, recording, destroying before I published my first podcast. We're back to the podcast, baby. We're going to grow this thing. I'm excited to do a show like this laid out with you on Thursdays. We talked about it on the Hurdle show we do over on YouTube about how we don't do enough shows together. And
exactly.
I think that this is going to be an intense one, a relaxed one, an informative one, and something that's going to get the people amped up and ready for the weekend on a weekly basis. So the walkthrough is here, and I'm ecstatic. When you text me and said, I thought you were just going to do it by yourself. And I was like, man, yeah, I hope he texts me. And he texts me and he asked me and I said, fuck, let's go. I'm here. So Matty Q, I'm ready.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was picking up when you were putting down on the Hurdle that we don't do this enough. I will say this, though, for everyone listening, it is very off-putting to see each other in this awkward lighting. I'm used to just seeing you through dialed lighting, absolute, like, immaculate recording for the videos, and now we're just, like, open mics. All the visual stuff doesn't matter. So for you guys just listening, Cody and I are both in the nude. So you could do that information what you will. But we're rocking the first episode of the walkthrough. We're going to go game by game, cover the entire week one slate. It'll be a little betting, a little injury news, player takes, this or that, name games. We don't know where it's going to go. But we know we're going to cover each and every one of these games. So without further ado, let's get right into the first game. A Friday night game, an international game taking place in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Do falo português, Cody. The Green Bay Packers are getting 3 points on the road, technically. And the Eagles are giving the 3 points at home, technically. But, of course, this game is in Brazil. We have an over-under 48.5. First question I have to ask you, Mr. Carpentier, is are you at all worried about the travel, or does the week one nature of the matchup mitigate all of those concerns?
Well, a couple things here. First off, this game entirely has me in a little bit of a tizzy in that it is in Brazil tomorrow night. We're used to just having a Thursday night game to open the season. We do get a Friday night game, which I think Packers Eagles is going to be very interesting. If it was in Philly, I would lean towards Philadelphia for sure. Being in Brazil, I'm a little, you enter that color yellow in from the state flag or the country flag in Brazil, not the state flag, but the country. Then you lean towards the Packers. No, but in reality, the pictures I've seen that have come out from the surroundings of the stadium worry me. The things we've heard about the area worry me.
Yeah.
And Matty, did you see this last week? And I know this is a little off topic, but did you see this last week that Brazil actually blocked Twitter or X from, like, you can't even have the app on your phone in Brazil. And if you have if you have a VPN, it costs you $8,000 a day to have Twitter on your phone.
Well, I didn't see that, but I think that's actually a good thing for these players, right? I mean, now they're all going to be locked into their rooms. They're not going to get tired. They're going to be well rested. They're going to be dialed in.
I'm not worried about the players. I'm worried about covering the game. People covering the game. Like,
oh, I didn't even think of that.
Right. I don't know what the press box and situation is going to be like, but how are you going to cover the game other than, like, paper, like newspaper, right? Like back in the day, newspaper, or like
still shots. Yeah, they're gonna have to resort. Yeah, for sure.
Still shots that you record on a big stand up camera and then you send off to the studio for your nightly news. Like, there's going to be paper, like, quarters. I'm going to be interested to see what the coverage is like on the Twitter aspect from, like, Eagles reporters, Packers reporters, things of that nature. That's the first thing that came to mind. Cause I heard it that Brazil was, and I was like, wait, the NFL has a game down there. Why would they?
Yeah.
I don't know, but And then I heard this number of $8,000 a day if you have a VPN.
I think Disney can cover that, though. I think Disney and all those big corporations, they can cover that charge.
That's a lot of money, dude. But anyway, the game aspect of everything, I'm excited about the game aspect because I've been kind of dug in, I guess you'd say, a little bit on this Romeo Doubs thing. On Tuesday, he filed a limited practice. I think he was limited yesterday as well. Marshawn Lloyd did not practice. So Emmanuel Wilson as well behind Josh Jacobs was a limited guy with a hip injury. So Emmanuel Wilson has a hip. Marshawn Lloyd has a hamstring. We know AJ Dillon's on the IR. Like, this is shaping up to be a Josh Jacobs bell cow role in week one against Philadelphia Eagles, who they've been kind of a sieve the last 2 years against the run. They've added pieces year after year. You're expecting them in another year in this defense to be up there in the top 10 conversation. Against the run, they're still just completely middle of the line. I should say against the run, against fantasy running backs, they're completely middle of the line. So I'm expecting a good game out of Josh Jacobs from a fantasy perspective. At the wide receiver position, I do think it'll be interesting to see how it breaks down from both sides of the football. Obviously, we know Jaire Alexander and Eric Stokes for the Packers are there, but they added Javon Bullard in the draft this year. Everybody loves Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown. You're going to start those guys this week in this matchup. But I'm interested to see the Jahan Dotson stuff because Johnny Wilson himself, the rookie wide receiver from Florida State, has been dealing with a little bit of injuries. Jahan Dotson, they said yesterday, was going to be utilized much more than we expected. So I want to see the Jahan Dotson output. I ranked him outside my top 50 at wide receiver this week. I think he's a very, very fringe. Like, if you have like three flex spots, like I'm talking deep, like you're starting three receivers and three flex, he's maybe that third flex, right? Deep.
Yeah.
That's on the Eagles side. On the Packers side, I'm good playing Dobbs. I'm good playing Reed. I love playing Jacobs this week. The Watson Wicks thing is still one that I'd love to hear your thoughts on, Maddie, because Watson and Wicks, I love both players. Watson's healthy. That makes me want to lean towards Watson, likely getting a couple opportunities, but I'm indifferent about starting either one of these guys. I have them both outside the top 40. I think it's like 46 this week.
I would go Watson over Wicks in week one if I have to play either guy. But looking at my week one rankings, I'm not confident really in either. I have, you know, Jaden Reed. And with Romeo Doubs having the hand injury, you know, signs are pointing to him playing Friday night in Brazil. I got both of those, you know, Christian Watson and Wicks outside of my top 60. So I'm not really looking to start. But if you have to, give me Christian Watson just because we know he has the proclivity. I couldn't even say that word right. He has the knack to score touchdowns. So I'm going to go there. But in terms of the fantasy output, I rank, you know, throughout all positions fantasy relevant pretty favorably. I do think this game goes over the 48.5. Do you think they go over or under?
I'm going to go under. I think the Packers want to run this football with Josh Jacobs. I think Jacobs is going to be the focal point of this game for the Packers. And Saquon Barkley's a new toy in that offense. I think this is a lower scoring game. What did you say it was at?
48.5 last time I put them in the show notes. That's the last where I got.
I think it's close. I'm going to go like a 46, 45. It's going to go lower. I like the under on this one. I don't know what I got. What is it? 27, 20, something like this in favor of probably the Packers. That's kind of where I'm leaning.
Okay, so Packers cover, Packers win. Under. So there you go for the first game on Friday night. Now let's head over to Sunday, week one, the official slate. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. We have made it. We're just a few days away from truly the red zone experience, you know, the week one, eating like absolute dog shit, watching football all damn day. But let's get to the first game. Pittsburgh Steelers at Atlanta Falcons. Steelers are 3-point dogs on the road, so that it's basically a pick 'em. Over under of 42. Who sticks out to you in this game, especially on the Steelers side? Because we know who we're starting on the Atlanta Falcons side. We know we're going to play Bijan. We're playing Drizzy. We're playing Kyle Pitts as long as he's healthy. Already dealing with a hammy injury. We don't like seeing that. But on the Steelers side, who are you firing up?
How deflating is this Pitts thing to pop up? How deflating is this hamstring injury to pop up pre-week one when these guys all have a week off and you're like, man, limited practice the week. Come on, this was the what? Guess I'm playing Darnell Mooney. I guess that means we're getting the Darnell Mooney bump in this conversation. It's not going to be Ray McLeod. It's not going to be Ray McLeod. We've seen Kirk Cousins put that football in the hands of Jefferson and Thielen, Diggs and Thielen. He also had Dalvin Cook in that backfield in Minnesota, whilst also having Kyle Rudolph, who had many weeks as a top 10 tight end. So Kirk Cousins, as long as he's healthy, isn't going to have a problem getting this football out to these receivers. And also, I mean, you're playing Bijan. The matchup is not great for running backs against Pittsburgh. I like the Pittsburgh defense. If you are playing defenses this week in fantasy football, you got an indoor game against Atlanta where Kirk Cousins, yes, he's had, you know, an offseason or a fall camp to get with this team, but it's indoors. I like some chaos to happen. I like some turnovers here for Pittsburgh. So if you're streaming,
turnover prone too.
I like Pittsburgh. Low scoring game, 42 is a total or whatever. Troy Fatanu, limited, probably not going to play. Isaac Siamalu, I think, was the offensive lineman. He's also banged up, did not practice with a pec injury. So I don't think Pittsburgh's quite where they want to be. They've had a lot of injuries this offseason. But from a defensive perspective, I think Pittsburgh stays tight here. I like Mooney. I think I have him as like a wide receiver. Let's see, pulled up here. Wide receiver 47 overall. So he's like a wide receiver 4 on the week. I definitely would be interested in flexing Mooney. I've done it myself a couple of times. Kind of have him right around that Brian Thomas range, a little lower than Jordan Addison if you're starting wide receivers. Bijan, of course, is a top-end play. Kirk Cousins, I'm not ready, though. I'm not ready for the Kirk Cousins thing. I'm not ready to click the button my starting lineup. Have him outside the QB1 conversation. It's a bottom 4 matchup. Using the Roster Watch Ultimate Matchup tool. On the Pittsburgh side, I don't know how you can start anybody and feel good about it. We know AJ Terrell and George Pickens are going to be matched up. I feel decent about Pat Freiermuth in this game just because I think it's something where Russ will have a not an insurance cover, but like a feel good, like a blankie. His blankie is going to be Pat Freiermuth. And I think, you know, we're going to be looking at a Freiermuth 8 to 10, 8 to 12 target game here in week 1. So Freiermuth, I guess, would be like the one guy that I feel somewhat decent about. But even him, like we'll talk about later, the Commanders, like I kind of feel better about playing Zach Ertz this week, who's another deep, deep, deep flyer guy when you're drafting tight ends late and you're skipping on that first tier. It was just to ship it down to Boston and go Pat Freiermuth or Zach Ertz. And I kind of feel better about Ertz than Freiermuth itself. Najee Harris, fine. You can do it. I like him, but I don't love any of the guys on the Pittsburgh side of things.
Pittsburgh, for me, I'm okay playing the backs, both backs. The over-under, the way the Steelers can win suggests a lot of balls, you know, being run through Najee Harris early. He can find Pater in that time. And if they do find themselves falling behind to the Falcons, of course, Jaylen Warren can get a few PPR catches. So I'm okay starting them, especially because it's tougher to start Warren given how, you know, the health landscape. He's more of a later season kind of stash, but I'm okay with Najee. I am nervous about Pickens. The more that we've talked it through, I'm actually going to lower him in my ranks. On surface, I kind of had him in the top 12. He's going to fall after talking with you about it, just with AJ Terrell, the nature of the game, kind of how I see this being fought on both sides. I think this is the under, even though it's only 42 points. I still think we see the under here. So not a great game to be excited about, but you know, we will see a lot of offense from at least the Atlanta Falcons this year. The third game we're going to talk about today, second on the Sunday slate, the Tennessee Titans head over to the revamped Chicago Bears. The Tennessee Titans are getting 3.5 points on the road. The over-under is 45. Does Caleb show up week 1 and prove he's him? Or does Slick Willie say, sit back, big dog, I'm still on the surface here, and I'm going to show that I'm going to have a big season?
This may be my favorite game of the week to watch.
You'd probably be in the minority there.
On the premise of we have a lot of things to take into account here.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fantasy aspects, for sure.
From the fantasy perspective, we have DeAndre Swift in this almost all-purpose bell cow role where Trashman from Roster Watch was up there at camp and said, you know, Khalil Herbert's going to get a lot more run than people expect. Roshan's been banged up all fall camp, so we expect this DeAndre Swift workload to be, you know, top eight in the league from a total touch perspective on a weekly basis. I have DeAndre Swift this week as a RB1 option. I have him running back 11. I talked about Josh Jacobs before. I have Swift just one spot ahead of him, one spot behind Saquon Barkley at running back 11 this week. At the wide receiver position, I want to see maybe the biggest question, where the targets funnel from a efficiency standpoint. Where does Caleb look innately when the blitz is coming? Where does Caleb look on third down? Who has the deep routes? Is it Rome? Is it DJ Moore? Where these things are going, how these things are happening, and then also what the tight end room looks like. So I'm staying away from the tight end room completely. You can find a better option than a Komet or a Gerald Everett this week. Do not make that bet on Cole Kmet catching a touchdown. If he catches three, I'm sorry. It happens in life. It happens at the tight end position to the best of us. Mykole Pruitt might score a touchdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers this week because he's a former Falcon and because Arthur Smith likes him. And these cocky Mamie things happen.
Yep.
But in Chicago, stay away from the tight ends. Play all three of your receivers. Whichever one you have, play him. You're playing Caleb. You're playing Swift. I think you're you feel very good about Swift. On the Tennessee side, you can also bring up the same thing. What's going to happen in the wide receiver room? I'd love to hear what you think about the wide receiver room because Ridley himself has talked about the need to increase and work on his yak and relax a little bit. We'll see what Treylon Burks has left in the tank. They've heard a lot about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine being able to play across positions. I don't want any part of that. Josh Wiley, I want to keep an eye on Wiley and see what the juice is that's coming out of training camp, like what it looks like. If he's actually taking reps away from Chigakonkwo, probably not playing Levis this week, but I tell you what I am playing is both these backs, Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears. Tony Pollard I have is running back 26 on the week. Tyjae Spears is just a notch behind him at running back 39. So I feel good about both these guys in the flex.
I completely agree with you there. Tony Pollard, I have him at 22, Spears at 34. So we're pretty lockstep there. As far as the wide receivers for the Titans, I got Ridley slightly ahead of Hopkins, but until I see it, both of them are outside of my top 35. You know, if you have a couple of vets on the back end, and you're trying to decide for your flex or your wide receiver too, Ridley or Godwin, I'm going Godwin. I'm going Christian Kirk. I'm going Tank Dell. I'm going with all of those over Ridley. I'm even going Romeo Doubs over DeAndre Hopkins as long as Doubs is on that field. And you'll know that if you're tuning in right here on Friday. But yeah, I just need to see how a lot of things kind of play out on both sides. But I'm very excited. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of answers or a lot of questions to be answered in this game that will have a lot of value. There's a lot of value in a lot of these guys when they went in drafts. So we want to see how it plays out.
Where do you have Tyler Boyd right now on the premise of we're not sure? DeAndre Hopkins is limited on Wednesday with his knee still. I would venture to bet they probably, if he's not ready to go, if he's not 100% Hopkins in week one, I would venture to bet they probably hold him out. Where do you have Boyd right now?
If we have indications that, you know, D-Hop's going to miss the game, he's at 73 right now, but I could see him getting in the lower 50s, the Rashid Shaheed, DeMario Douglas, Ladd McConkey range for me, because there could be a lot of points being scored here. I know it's in Chicago, but it's an early in the season game, so the weather projects to be quite nice. At least I believe so. I haven't actually checked that. Let me do that. Actually, you won't. By the time you hear it, it'll be could be changed. But with the over under of 45, I think that's a good number. I do expect points to be scored. This is like about, you know, just slightly over middle for the slate. So a game where we'll get a lot of questions answered, a game worth checking out on Sunday. The next game we're going to talk about is a divisional matchup. The Houston Texans are traveling to the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are getting 2.5 points as home dogs. The over-under right now is 48.5. Show me points, Cody. Again, another exciting game with a lot of fantasy-relevant players, but how do you see this game kind of going? Do you expect it to be a high scoring or maybe a little slower given what the Colts are going to want to do?
I mean, they have to hashtag establish the run, don't they? Like this Richardson, Taylor, this offensive line, this has to be the focal point here. Baseline, you go back to the beginning of the 2023 season with Richardson, and how everything, I mean, we beat this thing like a drum at the beginning of last year, actually through this entire offseason, kind of what we saw from Richardson. Richardson got hurt in this game last year in week two. They won 31-20. He was 6 for 10, 56 yards passing, 3 carries, 35 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns on those 3 carries. So I do think they try to establish it. Obviously, Houston Texans on the defensive side of the football have gotten better. Danielle Hunter not only is a good pass rusher, but also a very good defensive end in the rush game. Of course, they have Will Anderson. They've added guys in the interior, whether it's Falu Fatukasi from Jacksonville. They've added guys in the interior. So I think Houston's a little better, but they're not competing with the Indianapolis offensive line on that level. They're not a top 5 defensive line unit. They're not a top 10 defensive line, defensive run unit. And over the top, I do think Houston is one of the tougher teams to throw on. It's going to end up showing to be one of the tougher teams to throw on. And Josh Downs is banged up. We're not quite sure if Adonai is really ready to go right now. We know Alec Pierce isn't, unless he's going to take this monumental step that Reggie Wayne's been trying to push into people's ears. Tight ends are banged up. To me, it's Pittman. I feel good playing Pittman. I'm fine about it. He's got a tough matchup in Derek Stingley this week, but you have to feel fine about the alpha that's on average playing with Anthony Richardson, garnered 10 targets in his time. Again, on average across multiple games. Jonathan Taylor in this matchup with this offensive line, Anthony Richardson, love that. On the Houston side of things, I think you just run your studs. You just run your receivers. I love Tank Dell this week. Tank Dell's one that I actually put him in ahead of Stephon Diggs. Diggs I have outside the top 30. Tank I have right at 30. Kind of in the tier you just talked about, right? I have him ahead of Worthy, who was hyper volatile, I think, early this season. Right behind Romeo Doubs, right behind Brandon Ayuk, Terry McLaurin for Tank Dell. I think it's a good matchup for these receivers. But I do have Nico as kind of the clear cut number one going into week one. Given the mismatch in defensive weaponry, defensive backfield strength and talent against Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis tries to run this ball and keep it low scoring, but I think Houston maybe just has a little bit too much firepower.
I think Houston covers for sure, but I am hammering the under because I think the way that the Colts win is they slow it down. And I think that I truly believe that the Texans are there. I think we're here. I think the Texans era has truly begun, and these teams need to know like when they need to slow it down and then kind of make sure that they don't let CJ Stroud get a little too ahead of himself. They take shots downfield. They're more effective than they are high powered, but I see them winning this game. I think they're here. I think this is their turn. I do think that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson are going to give Anthony Richardson fits. Will Anderson, I don't know what his odds are. Maybe you could look it up real quick, what his odds are for defensive player of the year, but I think he's a dark horse. He could come on in a big way year two and get 12, 13, 14 sacks. So I'm
with you there. What were you going to say?
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you on how you kind of see this game.
Okay, I was going to say, when you talk about them compressing kind of down on Richardson, where do you see – because I was about to pull up DraftKings and kind of see how I like the stack to be built. And I have both these guys as top 3 quarterbacks. I have Stroud, Jackson, Richardson. That's how I have the quarterbacks laid out this week.
So you expect them to just hammer, I mean, just absolutely hammer the over.
Well, I that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know if I full blown expect them to hammer the over as much as I just expect Indianapolis to commit to the run and commit to what they know in Richardson and run him. And like, you know, like we talked about it, what Richardson can do with his legs. Like, if he rushes for 2 touchdowns and throws for 1, like what that does. And that automatically vaults him up to top 8 conversation. Stroud on himself, you know, could throw for 4 touchdowns, win this game 35-10, and you're at under, right? 35-13 is under. And I don't think that's out of the question. But that also means if it's 35-13 that there's no comebacks on the Colts side, and Richardson's probably a flop. So I guess in totality, if I have both top 3, I guess that's what that means. Yeah, I want to see where you had those guys ranked, but I will say the Will Anderson odds are plus 3,000. He's currently the 7th best, 7th most likely player. The 10th most likely player is Danielle Hunter at plus 3,500, but plus 3,000 is still good odds. I think it's interesting here. They have the way they have these guys listed out. It's I was like looking at this. I was like, who is Trent Jordan Watt?
Oh, it took even me a second there, though, huh?
Who's second best odds? Trent Jordan Watt. Obviously, it's TJ Watt. Anyway, do you kind of see the quarterbacks the same, or do you have Richardson kind of a tier below Stroud this week?
I have him ranked in a similar range, but I got Stroud at 7, Richardson at 10.
Oh, okay.
This game shows to me, like, Stroud looks the part. Stroud looks good, but he's 275-2. Where Richardson, he might have a rushing touchdown. He might run for 70, 80 yards, but he might have some turnovers, and he's limited to a role. But again, the rushing upside, you just can't ever keep him outside of the top 10 as long as he's healthy. The rushing upside indoors in a high-scoring projected game. But divisional game, they're trying to establish supremacy in the division already. Like, for me, one of my low-key plays, and on the game plan, I'll be talking about, you know, the shit list, which is the bargain bin players, guys who aren't universally rostered that I'll take a chance on in a pickle. A.D. Mitchell is kind of a play for me. If you need some help, I have him ranked right now at wide receiver. Where is he? 50. I think he's in the 50s. I just looked him up. 63. So he's ahead of – he's in that list of boom bust guys. But with Derek Stingley covering, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. most of the game, that could create some opportunities where some funneled targets head to A.D. Mitchell. So I think he is a pretty decent play. Let's move on to the next game. This is one of my favorites of the slate. This is a game where I've elevated a lot of my rankings and players based in this game. The Jacksonville Jaguars head to the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are 3-point favorites in South Beach. The over-under, 49, second highest on the slate.
So with Can't Miss Mitch and Alex, we do a show on Roster Watch called the Circa Millions Cast. And we talk about our five picks for the Circa Millions contest. And these guys are trying to sell me on Dolphins -3 in Miami, because you obviously always get that early season heat in Miami, right? The opposing team has to be on the opposite sideline where it's 20 degrees warmer. And you get this advantage coming down south. But I'm like, there's no advantage here. Jacksonville plays in this damn heat every single day. It's a different level going from Jacksonville to Miami. I get that. So it's probably 5 to 8% more humidity. It's probably, 5 to 8 degrees warmer on any given day in the middle of the sun. But I think Jacksonville is much more healthy in this game. Miami has been pretty decimated. I would say Phillips is coming off of an injury right now. Chubb is still not going to play. Ramsey's pushing 30. On the offensive side of the ball, we've seen Waddle and Tyreek banged up and missing practices over the last couple of weeks. We're talking about Malik Washington playing as a rookie who's a target monster at Virginia. So it looks like Waddle and Tyreek are going to be playing in this game. But if either of them potentially is kind of flip to that out marker on Sunday morning, Malik Washington is a 100%er in every format you could possibly play him, and you're playing him. But I don't think we're worried at the current stage. The current injury is actually Malik Washington's also limited this week as well. So that's a great call on my behalf. But in this game in totality, I'm a little hesitant with Miami. I'm a little hesitant picking Miami, I should say. I love Achan. I love Jalen Wright. I think, of course, Raheem Mostert's going to pay off in your seasonal start-sit lineups. The receiving game, though, I'm a little nervous about. On the Jacksonville side, love Travis Etienne. Not quite ready to throw that Brian Thomas dart. I think it's Etienne, Kirk, and Gabe Davis are kind of the focal points here. This I will say, Maddie, like we're going through each one of these games, and we're going to do this every single week. This will probably be, no offense, this will probably be the worst episode of the year, because we don't have any true data. We have no stats. We're based on projections completely right now. We're kind of in the dark. This is kind of why this is my least favorite week, is because you get these injury reports and it's like we're going from fucking 25 weeks of no football and no injury reports to like it all of a sudden it's Wednesday, Thursday, midweek, and we're just like, oh yeah, there's football on Sunday, and you're like, but like, I'm ready, but like I still got cobwebs. Like I'm not entirely. Week one's always tough because you're not entirely back into the flow. And then when next week comes, you're like, Monday, give me that fucking injury report. Let's go. And you're ready for it. But this week it's a little tougher. So this is the game for me that's probably maybe the toughest to really break down and really get to the depths of understanding how I think this thing really unfolds. So like I said before, like they're trying to convince me on Miami minus three. I'm not sold. I don't feel it at all. Where do you see this game going?
I love pretty much every fantasy relevant player in this game. I'll start there. Trevor Lawrence being my probably biggest surprise in my week one ranks. I have at quarterback eight. I with the ability to attack deep, having Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas in the offense, and this is a big time game for the Jaguars. They had a shitty 2023 season, and they need to come out and prove to themselves and their fan base that they're back, that Trevor Lawrence is worth the money, that they've invested in this team, that Trent Baalke isn't a complete dunce. And I think they give him a fit. I wouldn't mind taking the points and going Jacksonville, but in terms of a fantasy game, I mean, I love it. You mentioned ETN. I'm at running back four this week. This is going to be a big game for ETN. I like this game for fantasy purposes, but in terms of just being confident in the points, you know, giving three at home, I'm not all that excited about Dolphins. I don't think that's a lock. If you're only picking five, you know, that's not a game that I'm really kind of too super excited about. That's not a great – I don't love it because I think the Jaguars are going to come out and play. And if Miami Dolphins win it on a last-second field goal, you push. You lose.
Yeah.
In this contest. So I don't love that. I would be a little skeptical hippo face when it comes to that game. Let's move on to a game that Vegas thinks, you know, the odds out say it's not really going to be close. I think this is a hell of a closer game than what it says. But the Arizona Cardinals are traveling to Buffalo to play the Bills, and they're getting nearly a touchdown. 6 points on the road, but the over-under of 48 suggests it's going to be a fantasy-friendly affair. How do you see this game? And more importantly, is this the layup of the week, taking Cardinals getting 6 points with all the question marks in Buffalo?
I kind of think it's the opposite. I think this is Buffalo running shop. I think Buffalo runs shop on Arizona in week one. I talked earlier about Trash Man from Roster Watch going to the Bears training camp, and that was actually a joint. Sorry, not the Bears. He went to the Colts and Cardinals too. He went to the Colts camp, and they had a joint with the Cardinals. And he said the Cardinals were in complete disarray. Their offense did not look good. Their offensive line did not look good. Their number one wide receiver was Greg Dortch, and he had no comments, no takeaways from Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's wrong, but I also don't think anybody really on the Buffalo defense is capable of staying with Marv the entirety of the game. The thing I'm scared about is that I think this Bills defense is competent enough to squeeze Arizona. Again, they're traveling across the country into Buffalo week one. I just think the veteran team in Buffalo, where Allen has a great connection with Khalil Shakir, with Dalton Kincaid. They like what they have in Mac Hollins. I don't really see a ton there, but they like what they have. I think this comes down to you got the home field advantage. You got the better offensive line. You got the better defensive line. They're going to run this football with James Cook and Ty Johnson. They're going to try and get it to the point where they can get Ray Davis in there. Don't expect anything out of Keon Coleman, but I do expect kind of a little coming out party for Dalton Kincaid. The thing here is that you also get to have the other tight end on the other side. So this is more of like a rock throwing fight with some tight end output. That's kind of how I view this one. That's a rock throwing fight between quarterbacks because they don't really have a ton of weaponry. I know Kyler has Marv, but I'm just not ready yet. And then you have these tight ends. So I think it's a fine game, but I do think the Bills kind of run shop on this thing, like a 30-10, you know, 30-13 type of a situation we talked about earlier. Not a ton of injuries here. Curtis Samuel seems like he's fully back on the turf toe. I'm not ready to play Curtis Samuel.
Are you ever fully back on turf toe? Are you ever fully back on turf toe?
No, you're not. I don't think you are.
I'm fading the living dog shit out of Curtis Samuel this week.
Who's your highest ranked, outside of Kincaid, who's your highest ranked Buffalo receiver? Is it Shakir?
Let me see. Yeah, probably. I have Shakir at 41, wide receiver 41, and Keon Coleman at wide receiver 58. So, yeah, I believe in Shakir because I love the yak. The yards after catch for Shakir, so he can make plays. But I don't know. I feel like the Arizona, where they are, and Marv is going to be able to destroy this secondary. They lost a lot of guys in the secondary at the safety position. They've never really been all that strong on the outside at cornerback over the last few years. Marv is going to have a chance to absolutely destroy this week. I got him at 22. I think I'm going to flip-flop him and Pickens, to be quite honest. The more that I kind of talk through the this, or should I say, as we walk through the slate. Let's keep it moving. The next game on the list, we could talk about this in probably 3 seconds because it sucks and I hate it. And I guess this is what you get for 20 years of success. The New England Patriots open up their season with the Cincinnati Bengals getting 8.5 points on the road and have an over under of 40.5, which is the Stone Men on the slate. Quickly, just kind of go through the names. How do you see this going? And should people be nervous about their Burrows, their Chases, especially with Chase not fully practicing? How is this stink fest going to go?
Patriots cover.
So that would be terrible if you roster Burrow, Higgins, either of the running backs, because the only way the Patriots cover is if they hold the Cincinnati Bengals under 20 points, 17, 14, 13 points. Their offense sucks, dude. The Patriots offense blows.
So I think you have a weapon in Christian Gonzalez.
Christian Gonzalez sucks.
I think you're
wrong. He had a horrible camp. He can't tackle, and he's proving that the reason why he fell is because he's softer than baby shit. So,
these
receivers are going to abuse him. You kind of got me there. Okay. I'll hear you out.
So I think that they have a nice Swiss Army knife in Chris. Not a Swiss Army knife, but a nice
anti-Swift Army knife.
Swift Army knife. A nice, they have a nice switchblade in Christian Gonzalez that they can just put out on T. Higgins. And on the Chase side of things, Chase, you know, he may be ready, but I don't think he's like purely – he's not ready to be 4-3 Chase right now. And it looks like he's going to play. But if he's bracketed with you know, Jonathan Jones or Marco Wilson, who runs a 4-3 himself, and then with like a Jabril or a Duggar on top, like I think it's going to be not easy skating. I think you may see a little more Yossi Vosh out of the, you know, working both in the slot and outside. I kind of like Yossi Vosh as a deeper sort of flex guy. I don't like him, but I think it's adequate. Like I got him at wide receiver 70 right now, which I think is a little bit low in that context, but especially on like DraftKings and stuff, I'm cool playing Yossi Vosh at the Stone 3K. So there's that. I think the Patriots cover the 9.5 from the running game. I like Zach Moss. I like him to plunge in for 2 touchdowns. I think they have a beautiful schedule to start the season in Cincinnati. So I'm just going to go with that. I'm going to go Zach Moss is my play at the running back position this week. I'm not fading the wide receivers in Cincinnati, but I'm just hesitant. I think the Patriots cover. And I'm not playing a single person on the Patriots offense.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this entire game for DFS. It's a shit fest. Don't care much about it. Antonio Gibson has slight appeal. I kind of feel like that with Gibson. It's just like a who the hell cares, but I didn't have him at running back 41, so I'm not really all that optimistic about anybody in this game. Fade the Patriots until Drake May is the king of that offense. Next game doesn't get all that better, so we should kind of knock through this one quickly as well.
Yeah, we got rapid Panthers. Fire coming with these next few games.
Let's call it then. For the very first episode, we'll call it rapid fire. Carolina Panthers getting 4 points, heading to New Orleans to play the Saints. Over under 41.5. Real quick, thoughts?
Well, firstly, I don't really know what to make of the Saints. The Saints are a team that listed Juwan Johnson as the third tight end on the roster behind Foster Moreau and behind Taysom Hill. It seems like everything we've heard, like they're going to be utilizing Taysom Hill in a bigger role than we've seen, but that role is still going to be the same maniacal Fugaze role. It doesn't really exist, but it does in a game day. So to me, it's Chris Olave is a no-brainer. You have to start him. He's going to likely get a lot of J.C. Horn. Horn is disgusting. We know that on the Carolina side, but you have to play your studs in Olave. Kamara's a smash top 10 start, I think, in week one. Shaheed is a very volatile play. I don't love doing this. He's wide receiver 60 right now. He's a little bit ahead of Yossi Vosh, like I mentioned in the last game, but that's only because the volatility with him comes with the touchdown upside. Taysom Hill, I guess if you're on, you know, if you're on Yahoo and your team is donkey at tight end and you got the Taysom Hill thing with the advantage to play him across positional, fine. In Carolina, you're staying away from the tight end position. I've talked to some people in Carolina. They say, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Tommy Tremble, Jordan Matthews, Jatavion Sanders, stay away. At wide receiver, I actually like Jonathan Mingo. I like Mingo to get a good chunk of targets, 7 to 10 targets. And he's probably going to be the one lined up on Lattimore, so it's going to be tough outing. I don't have him as a top 50 play. He's right out to the top 50, but I think Mingo does end up being just a target hog.
So the way I see this game playing out is after this game, there's a lot of praise for Dave Canales, and the seat is super hot for Dennis Allen, and the panic button will be pressed in New Orleans. We were there last year, and we were riding around in one of the air, Ubers. The driver was talking about how much he hated Derek Carr and how much the city and the fans love Jameis Winston. So I know Jameis ain't there, but Spencer Rattler is already being listed as a co-backup with Jake Haener. I think that truly the Saints panic button begins after this game. And what does that mean for fantasy, for betting? I love taking the Panthers and the points. And the only player that I would say I am higher on than consensus is Deontay Johnson. He's not going to see Marshawn Lattimore. He's going to feast with targets, and they got to win this game. But I got Alvin Kamara at 17, Chris Olave at 24. This is going to be ugly for the Saints, and the panic begins in the Big Easy. Next game on the slate, Minnesota Vikings, your hometown squad. They're going to be heading east to play the New York Football Giants. So the Football Giants are giving 1.5 as home slight dogs, very slight dogs, over under 41.5. I'm going to ask the most important question. What the hell does Malik Nabers do in his first game in the NFL? Because that, looking at it, that's pretty much all we have to really question here, because we know Jeddah is the man.
I don't know what the ownership's going to look like, but for those that ride or die with South Harmon, understand this. I don't care. I don't care if Justin Jefferson is owned by 100% of everybody on, this is a DFS take. I don't care if Jefferson's owned by 100%. I don't care if Nabers is owned by 100%. I don't care if Aaron Jones is owned by 100%. I don't care if none of them are owned. We are playing them. You love Jones. You love Jefferson. You love Nabers. Nobody's going to love this matchup because it's the Giants and the Vikings. It's Daniel Jones and Sam freaking Darnold. But I promise you, nobody in the respective defensive backfields can compete with these other guys. Jefferson's got Deontay Banks. Deontay Banks is nice, second-year guy out of Maryland. He's nice. He cannot compete with Justin Jefferson in a heavy target output. Jordan Addison, Jalen Naylor are banged up right now. Josh Oliver is a sleeper, super, super, super deep tight end guy. Probably like not that. Touching that like with a 19-foot pole. But I do think Jefferson is again, starting the season off just like he did last year, 12, 14 targets. Nabers, you asked what Nabers is going to do. Nabers is, put a number on it, don't care. Over 100, over 110, over 120, over. Keep putting it up there. Like, I don't care. Nabers are starting the season off hot. There's nobody in the Vikings defensive backfield that can stick with him. They just signed Stephon Gilmore. Child, please, line him up. Line him up. They lost Mekhi Blackmon. They lost a bunch of corners this offseason. Line him up. Knock him down. Malik Nabers may catch 2 or 3 touchdowns in this football game just because of the volatility of this defensive backfield in Minnesota. And being week 1, I'm looking for chaos, miscommunication. Again, not a Viking homer. I used to be, but when I got into the space, I've since completely faded away from any fandom. I don't think the Vikings win this football game because I think Nabers gets too sick in this one. I don't think that the Vikings, from a defensive standpoint, are that great. I like Flores, but I just don't think they're that great. They're that ready. I think the Giants, you know, what's the line here? Point?
1.5. It's probably moved by now. It's still razor.
I think the Giants went outright. I think your stack, if you can maniacally do this, is Aaron Jones, Jefferson, and Nabers, or just Jefferson and Nabers.
I love the Jefferson Nabers run back because you can get cheap Daniel Jones. He can give you a little Konami code. Personally, hate this game from any kind of betting standpoint. I'm staying away for it in terms of my bets. I have Malik Nabers at 14, Justin Jefferson at 4, so I believe in both of them. Aaron Jones is a clear running back 2 for me this week, so I like him. My bold take, and this is why it's bold, is because I don't have it this way, but I can see it playing out this way. My bold take for the week is that after this game, the football world starts to question which LSU receiver has the most talent. It's Malik Nabers Day. Get your fucking popcorn ready. Let's keep the what do we call it? The lightning round? Let's keep the lightning round going. Denver Broncos head to the Seattle Seahawks. Broncos are getting 6 points as road dogs. Over under 41.5 suggests we don't see a whole lot of scoring, but if Bo Nix is good, could we see a game where Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith, and Jigba are have to they're activated more than we're thinking? And do the Broncos have a chance to cover?
This number is weird to me. I feel like Seattle should be favored in this football game.
They are. They're giving 6.
Well, I thought it was the other way.
No,
I'm sorry, I read that wrong.
Broncos getting 6. Yeah.
Okay, I read that wrong. Sorry, my bad. I was like, I was.
So your brain was right. Your initial thoughts
was
right.
I was like thinking. I was like, this isn't right that they're not favored. Okay, I think this is proper. Then I think this is proper. The interesting thing, though, I guess, is that on the Seattle side of things, there's a handful of injuries. Lockett and Fant are banged up. And Wosu on the defensive side of the things, defensive side of the ball, did not practice with a knee injury. And for the Broncos, they literally tweeted out an injury report, and it was empty, which is a pretty sick flex, I would say, in week one. Just straight up an empty. I mean, we remember a couple years ago, like there was like the Bears, and it was like 18 dudes in week one. Like Broncos, 0. They just tweeted out a bunch of dashes. Pretty sick. From a fantasy perspective, I don't know. I feel some type of way about Courtland Sutton. Like, he should be the target dominator pretty clearly in this Broncos offense.
You'd think so, yeah.
You'd think so. But the matchup against Seattle on the back end worries me with Tariq Woolen, worries me with Witherspoon. Like, these guys are good. These are good DBs. And the Seattle football team is going to be strong on the defensive side of the ball. And this is a rookie. This is a rookie in Bo Nix, who, again, played 60 career games at Oregon. He's the veteran's vet in college, but this is the NFL, and this is his rookie game in Seattle. I think it's an afternoon kick, it's like a 3:25 or a 4:25 or whatever the hell that thing is.
Which is 1 o'clock their time, but 4 o'clock overall.
So it's not a morning game, it's more so to take. Like it's Pacific 1 o'clock, but
yeah, right.
It's 4 Eastern. So it's like those guys have like 3 more beers than they normally would, right? That's the point. Like the 12th man standing.
It's opening day, baby. They're going to have 5 more than expected. 8 more. 10 more. What?
That's pretty. I mean, 10 more in 3 hours is pretty good. That's, I guess.
Boss.
But
day one, the Broncos, dude, the juices are flowing.
From the Broncos side of things, I'm just nervous. So I'm kind of staying away from everybody on the Broncos except for maybe Sutton. I feel fine about playing Sutton, who this week I actually have, I would say, probably lower than consensus. I'm not sure. I have him wide receiver 41. Love to hear where you have him. On the Seattle side of things, I think you just full blown play everybody. Play Jackson, play DK. You're playing Ken Walker. Lockett's banged up. We'll see what happens if he plays or not. I'm on the fence about him, but I think you're playing Jason, you're playing DK, you're playing your boy Ken Walker.
The funny thing about this matchup, and this is completely your fault and Alex's fault, I am so excited to see Byron Murphy and what he looks like in a Mike McDonald offense or defense, which has no fantasy relevance at all, but I'm very excited to see that. I'm down on this game across the board. I think I'm lower than consensus every which way other than Kenneth Walker III. I have him at running back 11. I think he eats in this game. I got Sutton at 45, JSN right behind him at 46, DK at 32. Someone is going to be better than my rankings, no doubt. I just don't have confidence in which one. Therefore, they're all kind of down. But I love me some Kenneth Walker this week. A game in which Mike McDonald wants to come away with a win. He could catch the ball. He could run the ball 20, 22, 25 times in this game, score a couple touchdowns. So I love me some Kenneth Walker. Let's move on to another divisional matchup, this time on the West Coast. The Las Vegas Raiders are getting 3 points as road dogs against the Los Angeles Chargers, led by first-year head coach for this franchise, Jim Harbaugh. The over-under 40.5. Defense. Michigan versus Iowa. How do you see this game playing out?
For those that can't see, because none of you can, because this is a podcast, I'm throwing hypothetical rocks at the screen.
Yep.
I'm throwing hypothetical rocks because exactly what Maddie just said, Michigan versus Iowa. Antonio Pierce has said multiple times he wants to run the football, establish the run. They're playing Gardner Minshew and probably Aiden O'Connell by the end of this football game. Devontae Adams is not happy. Past Devontae Adams, Trey Tucker, and Jacoby Myers, you can't name anybody on that wide receiver room. Zamir White's going to get work. How much work? Probably a lot. Is it enough to pay off as a top 15 running back? I don't think so. I'm staying completely away from every Raider, including Devontae Adams. If you have to start him in your lineup leagues,
because where do you have him?
Huh?
Where do you have Devontae?
I have him as 18.
I got him at 23, so I'm right there with you.
And the take is like, it's a fine matchup, but in this game, week one, you have Minshew, who we saw target Pittman last year quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably going to get enough targets, but it's more so like what he does with the targets. Are they catchable? Do the Chargers suffocate? Like, I don't know. I'm
nervous.
Is it
8 for 80? Is it 7 for 52?
Is it 8 for 40?
Right.
Like,
right.
Is it putrid? Like, does he have a chance to score a touchdown? Probably not. And on the Charger side of things, I want to see what this backfield looks like, whether it's Gus, whether it's Dobbins, how much Vidal gets in. Also, nobody. I like how the Jarrett Patterson thing came out this year, and Jarrett Patterson's where? That's what I thought.
I don't know.
He's not on the roster anymore. Jarrett Patterson, they were like, Jarrett Patterson's running ahead of Kamani Vidal. How long did that last? It didn't last. Sorry, bye. Next question. How the wide receiver room looks like with the Chargers as well. Josh Palmer is my guy. Josh Palmer is maybe out of this entire game. I talked about, I'm nervous about Adams. You're playing Adams to a certain extent, right? On the Chargers side, outside of Adams, the only player I want is Josh Palmer. He's got the only lengthy connection with Justin Herbert. Going back to the last regime, going back the last couple of years, I have him as wide receiver 35. I kind of want to put him up a little bit higher. I kind of want to put him ahead of Ridley. I kind of want to put him ahead of Worthy and Dell and Dobbs. I just am nervous about it.
I hate this game so much. There's no one in this game I'm excited to play. The Devontae Adams drafters are going to have instant buyer's remorse coming off of their, fourth round investment, if you were lucky. The one play that I will give you for all my dinosaur friends out there that still play in defense and kicker leagues, give me the Chargers defense. I absolutely love the Chargers defense in this game. Bosa, Mac, James, Samuel, Jim Harbaugh, hashtag establishing it both ways. I love the defense for the Chargers. And if they're not there, give me the Raiders as well. Max Crosby can eat. They can kind of slow this game down. I like when you like the defenses more than anyone else, then you probably want to stay away from this game. But from a DFS point, there are some ones, you know, that you have to roster the DST. Go with the cheap Chargers option. I love them this week, and you'll hear more about them when I go into the shit list on the game plan this Sunday. Next game, I feel like I want to get your thoughts on this game because I don't know where to think. Dallas Cowboys are getting 2.5 as they travel to Cleveland to play the Browns. This number feels like a
trap. Why?
The 41.5 feels low.
The 2.5 feels wrong.
The 2.5 feels kind of crazy. Getting 2.5 points, the Dallas Cowboys getting 2 on the road.
We haven't seen anything out of Watson yet.
Correct.
Cooper doesn't want to be there. Chubb is dead. The tackles are dead. What is this number?
I agree. This is the over-under. I still think the over-under is too low. I think Dallas scores in this game. I think CeeDee Lamb goes benerks, actually dominates, goes berserk. I don't know what benerks means. It's for you audio listeners. It's a horrible speak. But I'm with you. I love the Cowboys getting points in this matchup. But how do you kind of see it playing out fantasy-wise? And should anyone worry about CeeDee Lamb?
Well, yeah, you worry a little bit. I like the back end for Cleveland. I like Denzel. I like Grant Delpit. I like these guys. The interior defensive line's pretty banged up for Cleveland. Dalvin Tomlinson's banged up. He's been limited with a knee. Quentin Jefferson's limited with an Achilles. Maurice Hurst is limited with a hamstring. Like, Jordan Hicks is banged up. Yeah, I don't understand this fucking line. Tell me, somebody drop down from fucking somewhere and explain to me this fucking line. Jerry Jeudy's practiced in full. Congratulations. The rest of this team is fucking destroyed. We haven't seen Deshaun Watson do anything. If Cleveland comes out here and wins by 10, I might choke on a fucking pencil. I don't quite understand the line being in favor of Cleveland whatsoever. Dallas got back CeeDee Lamb. He's on the field. Micah Parsons is playing. Dak Prescott is playing. This offensive line, the way it is today, is better than the Cleveland offensive line without those two tackles.
Right.
Without Wills and Conklin, the Cowboys offensive line is better. The Cowboys defense is compatible with the Cleveland defense today. Pound for pound, compatible. Trevon Diggs is back, right? Deron Bland's playing. I don't fucking understand it. From a fantasy perspective, you play your horses. You play CeeDee Lamb. You're playing Brandon Cooks. He's the second horse in that offense at the wide receiver position. Wide receiver 36 for me, right next to Josh Palmer, who we just talked about. I actually have Cooks ahead of Amari Cooper in this same game. It's actually not a great matchup for the Cleveland receivers against Dallas for obvious reasons with Diggs and Bland, etc. You're playing your horses, though. Like, you have to run Cooper out there. It's going to hurt your soul to play Cooper like it does every week for the last 6 years, but you have to do it. I'm playing Jerome Ford in that Dallas backfield. I feel like the lean has continued to be Dowdle. Byron went out there and was one of the first people, I'll say he was the first person to really report Dowdle as the RB1, but there's other outlets that came out and were like, it's going to be Byron Lambert was the first one. I feel good about that, but also it's week one. So for the first 3 weeks, I could totally see Dallas going the way of Zeke, just going Zeke, 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 and then being like, yeah, this fart sound effect.
Especially if they have success up the middle, like you're saying, they're banged up into your line.
So I feel like I'm probably staying away from that backfield in totality. I'm playing my horses. I'm playing Cooks, playing Lamb, playing Dak. And then on the Cleveland side, I'm playing Ford, playing Njoku. And I forgot to say Ferguson as well. You're playing Ferguson on the Dallas side as well.
Not much to add there. Not much to add there, but I do, again, like getting points with the Dallas Cowboys.
Doesn't make any fucking sense. If we're going to make a segment, like the what the fuck of the week would be like this 2.5 that Dallas is getting for free.
New segment alert. You heard it here first in the very first episode of the walkthrough. The what the fuck moment of the show.
Why are looking Dallas for sponsors for that segment, by the way.
We are looking for sponsors. Let us know over at South Harmon. Maddie at SouthHarmonFF.com. Show me a motherfucking some love. All right, last game of the Sunday non-primetime slate. Washington Commanders head to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are giving 3 points at home, basically. A pick 'em over under of 44 means it's right in the middle of the road. Seems like a very bland, according to the betting and all the odds. But how do you see this game? Because I think there's some sneaky upside for offense here.
Full blown. Play everybody. Play everybody in this game. Jaden Daniels, rookie start against this defense. I'm nervous about that. I don't have Daniels ranked nearly as high as I think I will the next couple weeks. I have him as quarterback 12 right now. Alex has him at quarterback 8, which I think is a little aggressive because I think that this defensive line is going to get after it. This Washington offensive line is not pure yet. They're going to be starting Brandon Coleman, rookie out of TCU at left tackle. This Tampa D line sick in a joint practice against Jacksonville. They absolutely annihilated that Jacksonville offensive line. And I watched Washington and Jacksonville's offensive lines back-to-back days. I don't think Washington's is any better than Jacksonville's is. So I think that Tampa Bay's defensive line starts and finishes this football game and still play Daniels. You get the rushing upside. You're still playing them over the likes of Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy for me this week. With him, it's McLaurin. I've mentioned before, I love Ertz. I love Ertz. If you set your team up to completely ship it down to Boston at tight end, I talked about Freiermuth before. I'll play Ertz over Freiermuth this week. I feel good early in the season. It's kind of similar to the Zeke thing, but with Ertz, you also have Sinnott. So Sinnott, as the season goes along, is going to take over that role. But Ertz, I think the first 8 weeks is going to be a guy that you're going to see between the 4 and 10 target range every single week, be kind of a good blanket for a snuggly blanket for Jaden Daniels, the rookie to come through. McLaurin's an obvious start in that backfield. I feel fine about B-Rob this week, but not nearly as much as I want to, especially going up against this brute defensive line. I have him ranked as running back 23 on the week. Tampa, everybody, play them all of them, everyone, Evans, Godwin, White, Baker, play them.
Not really a whole lot to add there. I agree. I think there is some sneaky upside for points to be scored. A lot of fun to be had in this game. I want to take the over. I want to take the over here. I want to take the over.
For, what is it? 44?
44. Right in the 44? Middle of the slate. Yeah, right in the middle of the slate.
I like it.
I like the over here. That's kind of where I'm kind of looking here. I agree. I'm starting pretty much everybody. And I just want to see the difference of Brian Robinson to Austin Eckler. That's one of my biggest takeaways or what I say, things I'm looking forward to most this week is to see how it's worked. Because as, you know, between Cliff Kingsbury, the praise we've seen from him and how this team can truly win with Brian Robinson, I've been a huge fan of Brian Robinson heading into the season. So I want to see how that looks relative to Austin Eckler. Two more games, Mr. Carpentier, and then that will be the premiere episode, the pilot episode of the walkthrough. We're going to talk a little prime time here, Sunday night, Monday night. I like both of these games quite a bit, two very different reasons why I like this game. The first is obvious, fantasy bonanza. The Los Angeles Rams head to the Detroit Motor City Kitties to play the Lions. The Lions are giving 3.5 points as home favorites. The over-under is the slate high for the entire slate, Friday through Monday, 51 smackaroos. Feels like start everybody. So talk about some of the low-key players, the fringe players that you're okay firing up in this game.
Well, first off, I think I want to start here with just the when you rank this week's guys, I want to see first. I think first foremost, biggest question here: where do you have Cup and where do you have Puka Nacua?
Buddy, I got Puka at 7, Cup at 9.
Interesting.
Amon-Ra at 3.
Maybe I got to move Puka up a little bit.
Puka showed he's him. Could this be a rankings that ultimately flip flops? You know, as we get to weeks 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe Cooper Cup becomes the weekly winner between the two. But as of right now, I'm going to stick with Puka. I'm going to go with Puka. But again, the difference of 7 to 9, fire them both up.
I like it. I like it. But I will say that I have Cup 3, Puka 17.
Oh, so you have Cup going banana land this week.
This is Cup's team. I feel super good about Cup. Okay. Nobody should be nervous in any way, shape, or form. Amon-Ra, have him at 2 as well. But you talk about further down. The further down guys for the Rams side of the football, which I think is the side that you get more of this action. Jay Witt, 79th overall. Jordan Whittington, not playing in this week, but just I'm watching at least. DeMarcus Robinson is – I didn't rank him. Probably a failure. I need to rank him. I need to put him in here. DeMarcus Robinson belongs probably between – Hopkins and Mike Wilson.
Oh, wow. All right. So that's a DFS darling there. Cause I got him at 74. I'm not really touching him with a 10-foot pole, but I understand the appeal, obviously.
Well, he's a third option. That's the thing. Like there's nobody else there. God damn it. I can't believe I forgot to add him in here live on air. You're figuring this one out as I add DeMarcus Robinson to the rankings this week. Your boy flip flopped on that one. I did rank Jordan Whittington because I love me some Jay Witt, but DeMarcus Robinson's a top 60 option. I have him here 53rd now in these updated wide receiver rankings. So I think that he's a startable player. On the Detroit side, you talk about Jameson Williams. It's been like a must draft guy for us all offseason. Wide receiver 39. I'm not sure the breakout happens today, but 51 is a total. Biggest of the weekend. They need to empty the tank. Show your guns, shoot them off. Gibbs is coming off a hamstring injury. I think you just fire on all pistons. Fire everybody. Fire everybody. Everybody. Maybe outside of Whittington in this game. No tight ends. All receivers, all running backs. Fire them. All of them. I think Corum even has standalone value in this game.
Yeah, I got Corum at 37. I got him right around Zamir White. So he has a chance to find the end zone. But this show is awesome because we're kind of talking through our process. I've made a handful of rankings changes right now, just talking this through. That's why this show is because we're in the streets. We really do this shit. But I had just moved up Matthew Stafford. I got him at 13 now. I got Jared Goff at 11. I could see you playing Jared Goff over Anthony Richardson if you want to go floor. This is a game. Get your Bump popcorn ready. Bump Don't drink up. Too much during the Sunday slate because you got to be awake. 8:20 Eastern time. This is an absolute bonanza. I mean, the last time it's a double revenge game, first and foremost. It's a playoff rematch game. It's all year, all offseason long for Ben Johnson and Sean McVay to game plan. And remember when the Rams started off, it was Thursday night football against the Bills after their Super Bowl. Everyone ate in that game. Diggs, Allen, Stafford, Cup. It was everybody went berserk. I see that exact type of game in Sunday night football. Fire it up. This is going to be the game of the week. Kudos to the NFL putting Detroit in the year they could make it to the Super Bowl. Check out the latest episode of The Hurdle on South Harmon FF on YouTube to see who has the Detroit Lions finishing as Super Bowl champs. Anywho, we're firing it up. We love this game. Betting-wise, though, is it sneaky? Is it a little too sneaky to take Sean McVay in the points 3.5?
No. If he covers, it's going to be the half point. Like, it's going to be tied going to that last drive. That's the only way they're covering. I think Lions win this 100% outright. It's just going to come down to if it's that 3. I'm going to take my bet on Detroit at home, Sunday Night Football, opening the season. They think it's their year. I think it's their year. I think you need to move up Goff in your weekly rankings. I think I'm going to tell Alex the same shit. He has him as quarterback 13. I think we're all in line with how this game goes.
I'm moving him up.
Right, you said now. 9 and Stafford 11?
No, 11 and 14, but I'm moving him up to 9 above Jordan Love and above Anthony Richardson. I'm moving him up.
I have Love at like 17, but that's fine. I have Goff at 5 and Stafford at 9.
Yeah, I love this game. I love this matchup. I love Detroit getting the points. Another player, if you play with kickers in your league and he is not rostered, go get Jake Bates. Jake Bates might kick 2 fucking 60-yarders in this one.
I'll give you credit for that. I've gotten him in the last 3 leagues I drafted this week.
Jake Bates all day long. He's this year's Brandon Aubrey. Put it on the board.
It's too easy, too. It's too obvious.
It's too easy. Comes from nowhere. Yeah. He missed his one miss in the preseason was from 30. That's a fluke. That brother, that's a fluke. He ain't doing that, but he kicked it from 60. Dude's got a leg. This offense is going to hum. And 14 indoor games for the Detroit Motor City Kitties. Get Jake Bates wearing 39, which sucks. That just aesthetically is displeasing to me. But anyway, the last game on the slate, my friend, Monday Night Football. The New York Jets, in a comical fashion, are on the road again on Monday Night Football. The New York Jets are heading west to the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are giving 4.5 on the road or as home favorites. Over-under of 43, right around the midway point on the entire slate. What do you think here? How do you see this game going? And who are some of your standouts? A lot of offensively relevant players.
Does Leonard Floyd get the first sack of the game?
Wait, is that who sacked him last year? No. So Floyd could set what if?
I know. Don't say it.
What? I'm not even gonna say it because I have so much investment in Garrett Wilson this year. But boy, oh boy, that's correct. I didn't even think of that.
Shefty had him on his podcast and asked him straight up, and he's like, "I want to sack him again."
Yeah, no kidding. Of course, but geez, wow, that's crazy. And we all know that Aaron Rodgers has struggled against the Niners throughout his career.
Yes.
This is a cruel joke that they play. I got Rodgers at 26, so I don't really have any faith in Rodgers. I got Purdy at 17th this week. Of course, McCaffrey's at the top because in PPR leagues, he's just an absolute monster. But I'm not really into many players in this game. How do you see this game?
Where do you have Brees at? That's my big question because this is the toughest matchup on the matchup tool this week for Breece Hall and these backs. I got him at 8.
I got him at 2. I think 7 or 8 catches is on the table. Aaron Rodgers, you don't think it matters? Down. I don't think it matters. I think in PPR formats, it's not going to matter. I think he could go easy, you know, 5, 6, 7 catches, go, you know, 60 yards.
My problem is that I'm like hung up on, like, I love Aaron Jones. I love Alvin Kamara's matchups. So I'd put him a touch behind those guys. They have great matchups and you know, they're receiving bomb, like, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but they're the receivers, Bijan, Etienne, Taylor, McCaffrey. And then of course my running back one, Rashad White, but.
Oh, hell yeah. I got him at 6. So I love him this week too.
So that's where I'm at. Like with Hall, like I have him at 8 and I feel good about the 8, but I feel like kind of a cuck putting him at 8. Cause it's like the talent, but he's also playing San Francisco. So I think I might just
is fair.
put him there and be like, I feel good about it.
Putting him at eight says you're obviously playing him in every single format in which he's rostered, but maybe don't make him your captain in on primetime DFS Monday night.
Good point. Fair point. Good point. Across the board, otherwise, I'm staying completely away from everything in the Jets except for Garrett Wilson.
That's correct.
San Francisco, play your studs.
Yeah.
Purdy, I have, you kind of mentioned him at 17. I think I have him at 19. Tough matchup against this Jets back end. Just play your studs, though. Play Kittle, play Debo, play Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk's maybe the fringy one out of those three just because of the Sauce matchup, but I still trust the targets for Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk this week I have at wide receiver 28, so that's a solid 12 spots behind Debo.
I of the two, I'm more confident in Debo having just one of those volume games where it's not going to be pretty, but when you look at it, it's 110 all-purpose yards, a touchdown, and you're like, damn, he was pretty good. So I have him at 22. He's my highest ranked wide receiver. I got Ayuk at 29. I'm a little just nervous on how his usage looks, but of course you're still playing him. He's in the top three wide receivers, and so you're playing him. And then Kittle, I have at 8. Of course, boom bust ability is always on the table, but I think this is that with the defense being as good as it is for the New York side, where he's asked to block more, especially with Trent Williams getting his football legs back from under him. So I don't know if Kittle is really anything more than a TD dependent top 10 play. But yeah, I don't like this game in terms of fantasy. I'm not excited about it for the fantasy output, but I am very excited to see how it plays out for the NFL, for these teams, two teams that could be Super Bowl bound in a few months. So I love this game for that reason. How do you see it playing out? Who are you taking? Are you taking the points with the Jets? I'm taking the under in terms of the 43 points, but who are you taking in terms of who the pick 'em?
Yeah, I'll take the under as well. I'm under on 43. As far as the game goes, I don't think San Fran covers the 4.5. I think San Fran wins, but I don't think they cover. So I'm going to go under 43. Jets cover the 4.5.
This has 20-17 written all over it.
Yep.
Where Debo scores, McCaffrey's wide receiver, running back, 8 on the week because he gets a bunch of catches, and the rest you're just lackluster. You're not all that excited about. So not a great game. The Sunday night game is a blast. And this episode 1 of the walkthrough was an absolute blast. Make sure you're following South Harmon anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Amazon, wherever you listen to your podcasts, tap into South Harmon, America's game, all in, grinding the edge. And now the walkthrough, got all these podcasts coming out for you this year. Head over to the YouTube channel, South Harmon FF on YouTube. Head over to southharmonff.com. Get the Warp Tool, our weekly rankings. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/South Harmon. What do you got, Cody?
One more question before we go into week one, because we still got a couple hours to add free agents. Antonio Brown tweeted, "If I was you, I would stash me on your fantasy roster this year." Matty Kiwom, one of the ultimate OG Antonio Brown fans, will you in any way, shape, or form be stashing Antonio Brown in 2024?
By the time your ears are graced with the pilot episode of the walkthrough, I will have already rostered him basically anywhere I can, because he will come in and immediately be if there's any receiver that I'll put excitement into, be happy for making a comeback, it's AB. So yeah,
give me a team.
I will take some shots.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Oh, my God. Him and Aaron Rodgers, they'll spin off the face of the earth. At Cody Carpentier on X, at Matty Kiwom on X. This is the walkthrough. Get your shit ready. Get the games ready. We'll see you next week. Enjoy week 1 of the NFL slate. Peace.